The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Is your life genuinely happy? Do you wake up each morning feeling really good about what life has to offer? Untold thousands commit suicide each year all over the world. They have often expressed a feeling of emptiness and despair. Why? And what can you do to make your life more happy, more fulfilling? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith outlines 7 steps to happiness. Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Yes, there are a number of ways to make your personal life more fulfilling. There are ways to build happiness into your life. Notice what Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, said, and I challenge you to check up on me. I want you to. Follow me in your Bible. This is the revelation from God. This is the instruction book for mankind. Don't be afraid of it. Read it. Learn from it things you perhaps have not understood before. Turn with me in the Gospel of John, John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." The Greek expression here does not mean eternal life. It's talking about a rich, full, happy life. In this program, I want to describe for you 7 steps that can add happiness to your life. You should have a truly abundant life. There are 7 steps which will help make that possible. Point number 1, build joy in your marriage and in your family. That's something we all need to think about. You say, well, that's automatic. No, it's not. You have to think about it, and you have to work and pray to make it possible. But you can have a tremendous joy from your marriage and from your family if you think about it and if you work at that. And that's the whole key. Turn with me back to Ecclesiastes 9 in your Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 9 in verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he's given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. God wants you to be happy with your husband or with your wife. He wants you to share the joy, the happiness, the love, the passion, the ups and downs together. He wants you to enjoy your family, your children, and to focus on that and to think of various ways where you can be more truly happy together as a husband and wife, playing with your children, taking them places, watching them grow up, appreciating the fact that you have, in fact, a family kingdom. And in that kingdom, you're the king if you're the man, you're the queen if you're the woman. And think of that concept. That can make your life a lot more meaningful and your family life a lot more meaningful. Turn to Psalm 128, the book of Psalms 128, and beginning in verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Eternal and walks in His ways. Now that's the key. If you have the deep, profound respect for the great God who gives us life and breath, if you walk with that God, if you pray to God, try to keep His commandments with the help of God's Spirit, serve Him, then God will begin to bless your family, bless your work, bless your life in every way. And when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children should be like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Eternal, who has that deep respect and awe of God, this deep joy in the family. The happiest times I had growing up back in southwestern Missouri were in family gatherings on the weekends when we would have the big time around the table and take walks Sunday afternoon with my father, play checkers with Uncle Paul, do things together as a family. Then we'd go down occasionally to our cabin down south of town in the Ozark Mountains, and we'd be walking up and down Lost Creek, and I'd be following my dad, hiking, hunting, fishing, and at night In the summers, we would catch frogs at night, sneak up on these frogs with a carbide lamp, a kind of a miner's lamp that shines out and reflects, so it's fastened right to a cap and a bucket. And you'd blind the frog, and the frog would be sitting there, and you'd come up, and this light would reflect, and the frog would just sit there, not knowing what to do. You reach out and grab it and put it in the bucket. And the other frogs would be chirping, and the chiggers would be making noise and all the things. And I was going up and down and following my dad. I can always remember those times, a feeling of love, of excitement, of security in my family with my father at the cabin. Think about this concept of building your family, having outings like that. Building your family kingdom. You kings and you queens out there, build your family kingdom and be deeply happy in it. The second area of joy is to build happy relationships with your friends and your associates. And certainly you need to do that. Concentrate on that. Again, I was very blessed growing up. I had about 25 boyfriends growing up. I really did. I could be one night in Ashby Grantham's Roadster. I could be the next night in Monty Taylor's car. And the next night in Jack Ducky McPherson, we called him, and the trunk rumble seat he had in his car. We had a wonderful time, the long evenings together back there in the quiet time of the 1930s and 40s. I remember wrestling under the moonlight with Hal Richards in a vacant lot. And we would meet and we would test each other. We were just boys. 10, 12, 14 years old, but we'd be wrestling out under the moonlight till we just virtually gave out, trying tricks on each other, playing commandos during the Second World War on the chat piles out west of Joplin, Missouri, a mining town, and for shooting each other with rubber guns, we'd call them. We'd cut up these old inner tubes and make rubber guns and shoot each other with those and pretend we were, of course, in the war at that time. And roaming all around, flying kites off the chat pile, sitting up on a big hill and flying your kite in lazy days with friends, different friends, lots of friends, enjoying them, loving them to this day. Later on, playing bridge with D-Bar and Shirley and enjoying the evening together, a wonderful meal, a wonderful bridge game, wonderful fellowship, having friends to help when you really need it. Wow, that is wonderful. A third key of happiness is to build happiness and satisfaction through your job or profession. Elbert Hubbard was a famous American philosopher and writer around the turn of the century. And Elbert Hubbard wrote this truism. He said, "Get your happiness out of your work." Frankly, it is absolutely vital. It's vital, folks, that you get yourself into a job or profession that you really enjoy. I know that's not always possible, but you better try to do it, even if you have to change jobs. Take the right kind of pride in accomplishing and in serving in an area that you enjoy so you feel you're really accomplishing something. You're fulfilling your human potential. And then you have joy in your work. After all, you're spending sometimes 8 to 10 hours in your work every day. You'd better deeply enjoy what you're doing. And you'd better have a sense of giving and serving and accomplishing. Then you have a much deeper joy, of course, if you can develop that attitude in your work or in your profession. I'm sure many doctors and dentists and certain professional men can feel a great sense of service in giving and helping to others. And certainly I can in serving in the work of the living God, a tremendous sense of accomplishment and pride and thankfulness that I can be part of something that is worthwhile. In Acts chapter 20, in your New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 35, notice what the Apostle Paul tells us. He says, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." The Apostle Paul worked with his own hands. He helped people. He served them. And sometimes he worked as a tent maker during the day and then conducted visits and Bible studies at night, preached on the weekends, gave his life in serving the brethren all over the Mediterranean area. And he said that Jesus Christ taught us, interesting, Jesus' words mentioned later on here through Paul, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about that. Develop the attitude of giving, of helping and serving in your job or your profession. It can be much more meaningful if you'll do that. Be thankful that you have a unique contribution to make in whatever you're doing. At this point, my friends, I urge you to call or write for a free audio tape of this very program. Call and we'll send you a tape, and that will help you go back and review and study and prove these vital things and use them. and you may wish to share this message with your family or friends. So call or write right away for an absolutely free audio tape sent upon request. Call or write today.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you.
Now back to our topic of 7 steps to happiness. Remember, we were in Acts 20:35 talking about this famous saying of Jesus Christ given many years later through the Apostle Paul. He said that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." I challenge you, learn to be a giver. Learn to be a giver in your profession, your family, your friends and associates. Learn to be a giver to all those around you. If your mind is on others, on serving and helping them, you will be far happier. You really will. Get your mind off yourself. Learn to be a giver. The fourth area of building happiness is to build happiness through recreation, through hobbies, vacations, through travel. Even though some are sometimes trapped, and I know they are, in dead-end jobs, you can gain deep satisfaction from the right kinds of hobbies and recreational opportunities. Some men gain a great deal of satisfaction from building things out in their workshop, in the garage or somewhere. Many women learn to sew or create other things for different people, and they gain joy out of that. Many gain a lot of happiness and satisfaction from hunting, fishing, hiking, exploring, golf, tennis. There's deep satisfaction in travel also. And sometimes you can save money and, you know, go on the cheap, as we say, and travel all over various parts of the world. Travel has helped broaden the horizons of many, many people and make them feel far more fulfilled to see this great, big, interesting, wonderful world. Describe, you need to think about it. Think about the joy of seeing Yosemite National Park, the soaring Grand Tetons, the Canadian Rockies, the Alps, and perhaps exploring the fascinating cities of Canada, of Europe, and other places around this world. Develop hobbies, develop recreational opportunities that fit you, that make your life more fulfilling, and think about it, that you want to have a happy life in the right way. Not the kind of thing that tears you down, but the kind of thing that educates you, that builds you up, that helps you come back refreshed and more fit and able to serve others more. Save your money and plan trips to Europe. Save your money for your hobby, but learn to enjoy life in the right way. Number 5, key number 5, build your health and so build your happiness. Now, folks, most of you know that you can't be deeply happy unless you're really healthy. Some people are able to in spite of it, but it's harder. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the famous American poet, wrote, "Give me health and a day, and I will make the pomp of emperors look ridiculous." But that's true. You know, if you really feel great, it makes such a difference. Haven't you had days when it just felt good to be alive? When you feel energized and you feel alert, your food tastes better, your surroundings look better, the pretty girls look prettier, the whole world takes on a happier glow when you just feel good. So put in the time, put in the energy, and put in the thought to build your physical health. Certainly you need to watch your diet. Try to be careful to eat fresh fruits and vegetables and eat food that will spoil before it will spoil. That's a key. Get the proper exercise. Take long walks or learn to swim, learn to bicycle, get a Stairmaster or some of these exercise things where you can build yourself by getting the right kind of aerobic exercise as well as strength exercises. You'll feel better and feel better about yourself. You will be happier. Certainly develop a positive attitude, not think, oh, woe is me, everything's going to go wrong. That tears you down, and that can set off negative things in your body. Have a positive mind. And certainly get the right kind of sleep. You've got to have sleep. Sleep is the great healer. Those are 4 keys, of course, to building your health. Any one of them, you know, by itself is not going to do it. There are others, but those are 4 of the main ones. Of course, another one is avoid bodily injury. You know, you can lift weights and you can be big and strong, take karate lessons and everything else, eat the right diet, have a positive attitude, and step out in front of a truck, okay? Avoid bodily injury. That's so important. Some of you guys that are skiers, you know, remember those skiers recently we read about, they come hurtling down the wrong slope and they splat against a tree and that's it. Avoid bodily injury. The sixth way to happiness is building your financial resources. Financial resources can increase your happiness. Perhaps you've heard the remark of a very famous billionaire who said a number of years ago, "I'd give every penny I had for just one happy marriage." This man was a multi-billionaire. He had everything. Houses in various parts of the world, just everything. I'd better not describe him further, but I just don't want to hurt him or his family. But he had everything in that way, but he was absolutely miserable. And you read stories about him and you realize that. I met a number of millionaires who were also not happy people at all. They just weren't. So money does not guarantee happiness. But if you take a number of the other steps to happiness I've been outlining, if you can build happiness within your own family, if you can build happiness within your marriage, your family, your associates, your job, and so forth, then having a reasonably comfortable amount of financial resources can add to that happiness. It will not be the foundation of your happiness, but it can add to the happiness you already have attained because it will make it far easier to do things. You can take your wife out to dinner more easily. You can take a nice trip more easily. You can help other people more easily if you have the amount of money that can help you have a comfortable life. Not a millionaire, you don't need that, but a comfortable life. So try to develop yourself. Get the right kind of education. Get in the right profession or business and be sure that you are going to be able to build happiness in that way. And don't take unnecessary chances. Don't gamble. And, of course, then you won't be worrying about what's going to happen. And you won't be worrying about that pile of bills piling up because you are going to have enough resources to take care of yourself in a comfortable way. The Creator God is not against having a comfortable life. Back in Proverbs chapter 10, if you want to turn with me back to the New Testament here again, Proverbs chapter 10 and beginning here in verse 4, it says, "He who deals with a slack hand becomes poor." You see, the one who has a slack hand, he's not working, he's not energetic, he becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes one rich. A diligent person is on the ball, alert, driving ahead, preparing himself, doing his best. Certainly you want to be that way. That can make you rich if you save your money. "He who gathers in summer is a wise son." Sometimes summer's here. It's time to work hard and longer hours at certain times, and then you can take off at other times. Figure out when it is and work hard when that's necessary. "But he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." So try to get in the line of work that fits you and fits your talents and desires, and then work hard and save all you can for the important things. And don't gamble or throw away your money foolishly. Set aside some money for a rainy day and set aside for the things that can really build happiness in your life. And then, of course, you can be far more happy in that way. The seventh and final point, the seventh step to happiness, is to build happiness through your personal relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. There is an indescribable depth of joy and fulfillment when you have known, and when I have known, that I have been truly serving and honoring God. I remember going out as a young man on what we call baptizing tours. There were people who had written into a program just like this one for baptism, and they needed counseling to be sure that they were ready. We weren't trying to talk people into being baptized, but see, in fact, if they were ready to be. But when we were talking to those people, helping those people, building those people, then immersing them in water as a symbol of burying themselves and giving their lives to God, and afterward laying hands on them for the receipt of God's Holy Spirit, often those people would hug us before they left. Some of them would break down and cry because they knew they might never see again representatives from the work we were representing at that time as young men in our early 20s. There was a deep and profound satisfaction in helping those people in a way I cannot describe. There was a deep satisfaction in teaching Bible classes and changing the lives of young people over a period of about 35 years in my life, something that I can never regret, no matter what. a deep satisfaction that you can have and I can have in personal prayer and in Bible study, drinking into this word carefully, thoughtfully, realizing that we are communing with the governor of the universe, the one who put the sun and the moon and the stars up in the sky. That we're walking with that God. We're drinking in of his mind. We're focusing upon him. There's a satisfaction that comes in those things from serving God, honoring God, walking with God, that is absolutely profound. My friends, that is absolutely profound, and you can't gain that kind of satisfaction, that kind of depth of joy any other way. You really can't. You've got to learn to do that. You really do. You know, you look back in the Old Testament, and certainly it's repeated in many ways in the New, and you find certain things about the great men and women that God used, and there's something about it that I want to convey to you here. It says back in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, follow me here if you can. It says, Enoch, this great servant of God back there, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Remember old Methuselah? He's the one that lived longer than any other human being, 969 years, at least the longest one recorded in the Bible. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. He walked with God. What do you mean, walk with God? Well, as you read the whole Bible, you begin to understand that people who walk with God drink into this book. They meditate on it. They think about it. They pray to God on their knees. They lift up hands and say, Father in heaven, you who sit between the cherubim with Jesus at your right hand, guide me, help me, guide and bless my friends and loved ones. Lead us, Father, in the right way. And they talk to God and they come to know God as their Father. They come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and their living high priest, their elder brother. They walk with God in that constant relationship, this back-and-forth relationship, in fact, that they can have with God. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, it says here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Eternal. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah's a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Here again is one who really knew God. What a profound satisfaction he must have gained out of that. And so we want to think about that concept of walking with God and really having that kind of very personal relationship with our Father in heaven. Remember Abraham? He's called the father of the faithful, and he's the one who's probably even going to be over Moses and over the 12 apostles in the coming world ahead and the coming kingdom of God on this earth. Notice what's said here in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Abram was 99 years old, and the Eternal, the Greek, the Hebrew word here, Yahweh, means the ever-living one. The ever-living one appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Or it can be translated, walk with me, walk with God. Back in 1955, another young man and I were on a baptizing tour in East Texas and Louisiana, and normally just worked and worked, and we loved it to help these people on those tours. This one time, we took some time out to see a movie, the only movie I've ever seen, and going on six or seven different baptizing tours all over the world. But he wanted to see it. He was a singer, and I enjoyed it. And it was called The Student Prince by Sigmund Romberg, of course, the play, set to music. And Mario Lanza sang the title role. He was the singer provided there. He wasn't the actor, but the real voice of singing was Mario Lanza. Absolutely beautiful. And you remember that movie, some of you, and the young prince finally comes back from where he'd been in college, and he's in this great big cathedral by the bier of his father, who had died, the king. The king had died, and the young prince had to take over. And in that big, magnificent setting, he sang, I'll walk with God. And I've never forgotten that to this day. Never forgotten that. I'll walk with God. And that hit me in one way even more than the Bible verses had when I first read them. If you learn to do that and you have that deep, profound communication with God as your Father, you can have a joy, you can have an inner peace, you can have a zest that you simply cannot get, folks, any other way. Believe me, you just cannot get it any other way. Let's turn to Philippians now, the book of Philippians, and I'm going to begin reading in chapter 4 and verse 4. Here the Apostle Paul writes, and I want to remind you, folks, that where he's writing this. He wrote these words in prison. He was in prison, and you think he'd be moaning and saying, Oh God, I'm sad, and please get me out of here, and I'm so miserable. But while the Apostle Paul was in prison, he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Even thank God that you have enough to eat, enough to wear. You're in prison, but you're still alive. You're going to get out sooner or later, probably, Paul was thinking. And so can some of you. Some of you hearing me might be in prison or have been in prison. You know what I mean. If you'll turn your life around, you can have a better life. So rejoice with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can have a depth of love, of joy, of peace in that relationship with God and Jesus Christ, a profound satisfaction that cannot be attained any other way. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, turn there if you wish to, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." That's the key. Walk with God, have Christ living His life in you, and you can have a profound satisfaction, a peace of mind, a joy that will never quit. Be sure to use these seven keys to build happiness in your life. And again, be sure to call or write immediately for a free audio cassette of this program. It will be sent absolutely free upon your request. This will help you to study and to prove all these things I've talked about, vital things. You may wish to share this cassette with family or friends and help them. This tape will be sent absolutely free upon your request, so call or write immediately.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you.
Be sure to tune in to Tomorrow's World program next week at this same time. Richard Ames and I will be giving you the vital prophecies of the Bible and will also help you understand the great purpose being worked out here on this earth. We'll see you right here next week at this same time.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579 or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.